This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team, joins us. Steve, off-air bet, I predicted that you did not fill out a bracket this year. Am I right?
That's correct. I feel like you may have asked me last year. You remember.
Not into it.
It's football
People
season.
Say, oh, these are the two best sports days of the year. I have a take that I've not given you or
I know what
Malzi
your favorite. I know what your favorite sports day is, NFL opening week.
Hold on. Let me get it out there. I would take every NFL Sunday
over this,
over the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Every one.
Completely agree. I don't watch college basketball, so.
I love these 2 days, but the way I feel when I get out of bed and wake up on Sunday morning before NFL games start is like borderline erotic feeling. This is still good, but not quite that.
Yeah.
No? Have you talked to like a psychiatrist?
No, I think Steve was about to say I agree with you, Pony, and then you cut him off.
Yeah, NFL's better than college basketball. That part I agree with, at least, you know.
Well, college basketball I think is like a little paradox. I think most people that like basketball can actually agree you're not watching the highest quality of play by far. Any NBA game is worlds better in terms of play quality. But it's one of the rare situations where the actual level of play being lesser than helps the overall appeal of the product.
I agree. It's more interesting because not every team plays the same way.
Plays well. Like, most NBA teams are going to make a run and hit their shots. Like, you have guys playing bingo, bango, bongo.
Everything in the NBA is just shoot as many threes as you can.
Also, you'll never get an end of a game like the St. Francis, Alabama State game where literally it's a high school game at the end there.
Steve, we had Doug Whaley, who used to run the Bills and was the Steelers' assistant GM for a number of years, say on our station this week that the Steelers are nailing the offseason. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I like the DK Metcalf move. Well, it comes down to the quarterback, though, right? I don't know. If you're that, you're just going to sit and wait for Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't feel great. Everything else is fine. I don't know what else. You know, corner's fine with Slay, and DK's fine. Yeah, I guess it's been good. I mean, I like a lot of the moves the last couple of years. It always comes down to QB, though, to see if it actually, you know, makes any kind of difference.
Steve, at what point, this is sort of editorializing here, but at what point do you feel like there's going to be a correction in the national media if it keeps going this way for the Steelers and their quarterbacks about, like, specifically Mike Tomlin, who locally we all hear and kind of know from hearing it from people who are covering the team day to day, just seems to have like a restrictor plate on this offense and just has a very hard time allowing his coordinator and whoever his quarterback is to open things up. Like, I struggle with sort of how jarring the difference is between the way he's talked about nationally and what a destination this is talked about, and sort of the lived week-to-week in-season experience of being a Steelers fan and watching him grip the steering wheel at 10-2 with that offense.
I'm torn on this as well, because I think I've said this on the show before too. We just know how much the quarterback drives the offense, and we saw Belichick not win a lot of games without Tom Brady. I mean, Bill Belichick not win games at all because he didn't have Tom Brady. And that's it, I hate that it comes down to that, because there's a few coaches who have elevated multiple teams across different quarterbacks, and Andy Reid was always winning and then got Mahomes.
Sure.
You must have missed 11-5 with Matt Cassel, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, no, I know. I mean, but that was a terrible
schedule. Todd Haley won a division with Matt Cassel, to be fair. So that means Todd Haley is one of the greatest coaches to live.
I don't use the Cassel argument, because that was a team that got 5 games worse with Matt Cassel and was one of the easiest schedules in the NFL that year.
Steve, I also don't use that argument. You know why? I don't subscribe to that theory, because I watched the Steelers have a house of horrors like become unto them when they would go to Foxborough against Brady. And that year against that year against Matt Cassel and an 11-5 team, they went in there and smacked him around like a Goldberg squash match.
Yes. Well done. Well done. So yeah, let's not use 11-5 Matt Cassel. Bill Belichick is like a 450, you know, coach or whatever he is without Brady. So I hate that the quarterback drives this so much. So I hate doing this too. I'm going to defend Mike Tomlin and say, well, when you have Kenny Pickett and you have old man Russell Wilson, like, what should the expectations be? So if you're being honest, restricting the offense? But like, they've somewhat overachieved given what they've had at quarterback over the last few years.
Well, but the Pickett problem is one of his own creation. He didn't inherit him. He picked him in the first round. You know what
I mean,
Steve?
But what's the other option, right? There's a few teams. Like, I love what Minnesota has handled the quarterback situation with a little bit of creativity, but also some luck. You know, they have Kevin O'Connell, who might just be the next QB whisperer, who got the most out of Kirk Cousins and then Sam Darnold and maybe now J.J. McCarthy. Unless you have that guy, you have to think creatively at the quarterback position. It's like, what should the Steelers have done differently at quarterback besides take a shot on the best quarterback in the 2022 draft, which we thought was Kenny Pickett at the time?
Maybe not give him Matt Canada as an offensive coordinator, Steve.
That's fair. I mean, I'm not saying Tomlin's without criticism here. I'm just saying the quarterback situation has been in the bottom half of the league, and he's created a team that's in the top half of the league. That's somewhat overachieving.
Let me ask you, if you had to choose between these two options, you either sign Aaron Rodgers for around $30 million a year, or you use the 21st pick in the draft on Jackson Dart, and you can only choose one. Which one would you do if you're the Steelers?
I'm like the mystery box guy, because I don't know if Rodgers wins the AFC North in a playoff game for you. So I think you have to go back to the mystery box. And I don't even love Jackson Dart as a prospect. I'd rather get him in the second. I know there's no second round pick in Pittsburgh. But I'd say Jackson Dart, I guess, just because you have to keep trying. I think I know what you're getting. I don't know. I also said Rodgers could be a top 10 quarterback on the show last week. So maybe for a year, make a run with Rodgers instead of Dart. I didn't love Jackson Dart.
Did you just change your answer 60 yes. seconds into that? Is that what I just
we
heard?
We call that on the show. That's a Mueller, we call that.
No, that's thinking out loud. That is, my thoughts just were verbalized, and you guys heard all of it.
Steve, did you know there are people, lots of them on the earth, who do not have an internal monologue where like they kind of can hear or talk in their own head? Like, they just don't have that happen for them?
What?
What do they do? They just talk out loud the whole time?
Steve, I've read this before, and I have the same reaction. Like, so wait, when you're not talking, you're not, like, ruminating and thinking through in your own head? Like, I formulate questions to you in my head while I'm listening to you talk, but there are lots of people for whom that doesn't apparently happen. Anyway,
I don't believe that.
Neither here nor there. You talked about O'Connell a minute ago about, like, maybe he's the next quarterback whisperer, and there are certain coordinators who elevate multiple teams, multiple quarterbacks. When you look at Arthur Smith, who's not going anywhere with this franchise for the duration of his contract at least, where does he slot in? Is he somebody that you look at and you could look at his work with Tannehill and you could say he's elevated quarterbacks? Like, where does he fall on that spectrum for you?
I think there was a point, So Tannehill's the one guy where there's some evidence, right? And that was it. Where Tannehill had his two best seasons, and then you have to look at what else they had. They had Derrick Henry. They had A.J. Brown. I think the high-end wide receiver one, A.J. Brown type, certainly elevates quarterback stats and their ability. We've seen that with the Eagles, with Brown. We've seen that with Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins. So that's the tough part about Arthur Smith. He certainly hasn't done it since with Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota. Russell Wilson had a little stretch. You might say the six games of Justin Fields, but I don't think there's a clear track record of Arthur Smith as that guy outside of the couple years of Tannehill, which I think was very much driven by some of the personnel that Tennessee had.
Steve, I feel obligated to ask you this question because our YouTube viewers are obsessed with this guy. Should the Steelers think about parting company with a day two pick to trade for Joe Milton?
He is interesting. Not day two. Third round for Joe Milton.
Yeah, everyone keeps screaming, third round, third round, third round. Do it, do it, do it.
I started that rumor the day after the season last year. The teams were calling about Joe Milton, quote, started. But it's happening right now. I'm intrigued by Milton. Last year at draft time, I wasn't intrigued. But, man, he looked different in the preseason. He looked different in that one game against Buffalo. And he is that big-armed athletic freak that if he figures it out, I mean, it's a – I don't know. Let me say I would take as much of a shot on Milton as I would any other QB in this draft based off one game of evidence. So, yeah, why not? Let's do it.
That was – okay. Then you like a great interview subject, you answered my question before I asked it. So it sounds like if you had to pick a quarterback in this year's draft and he was draft eligible, knowing what you know, you'd pick him before Ward even, correct?
No, not necessarily. I'd take Cam Ward – probably Shadur, maybe Joe Milton's
okay.
Next.
Okay, so he
Dylan
would
Gabriel
slot in. Okay,
in that mix as well.
Okay, he would slot in third.
Wait,
then,
Dylan Gabriel?
Yeah. Wait, yeah, hold on.
Before. Yeah. Holy smokes!
I feel like why? Based on what with him? Because everyone I see says, just not big enough, not a strong enough arm, etc.
He's got a cannon for an arm. People think that because he's short. This happened to Baker Mayfield.
So did Jamarcus Russell.
No, but I'm saying, but the knock on Dylan Gabriel isn't his arm. If you want to say, well, he's short, fine. But
I get what you're saying.
He has more arm than
that.
Jackson
might have been lazy. That might have been lazy analysis by me, but I never. And you know what? I think what you said though bailed me out. When I watched him, I never thought because I knew he was a small guy. Like, oh yeah, this guy's got a cannon arm.
Steve, we're also in a sports book where people are screaming about college basketball games while trying to be professional and conduct this interview. So we apologize.
Understood.
If it's not.
I get
our best
it.
Work.
I get it. It's big day. It's a lot of energy floating around. Dylan Gabriel is just a guy that I would want to take a mid-round shot on in this draft class. I know he's short, but I love the way he goes through progressions. I think he could throw it. I think he's athletic, can make some plays with his legs. I kind of like Dylan Gabriel as a developmental guy.
Is he a short guy who can actually stand in the pocket and make throws and has that rare Drew Brees quality, or is he closer to Russ, who we know has a really hard time just standing back there and throwing because he's so short?
It's always tough to tell because if Bryce Young looked like he couldn't do it, and then he started to. So I think Gabriel's capable. It might take some time to get used to it, but he's got a lot of experience. He's done it. He likes to sit there, goes through reads. I think he does a lot of quarterback things extremely well. I'd love to take a shot on Dylan Gabriel sometime in the middle of the draft.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Steve, thanks for joining us, brother.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Have fun. Enjoy the day.